and each individual case, the instruction to be given, and the mantra replayed. This Gayatri Mantra function should be held amongst the devotees only.
Yeah. Did you hear the Prabhupada referring here?
Let it to Yamuna Devi. July 26, 1970. Yes, and this is a parenthesis. Yes, I am glad to learn that the Brahmacharinis are engaged in assisting work and cleaning. These are the most important duties for the Brahmacharinis, namely cleansing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally used to inspect temple cleaning, and he would see a little particular particle of dust. He would remark, "Oh, you have not done very nice." To try to follow his footsteps in the matter of cleansing. By nicely cleansing, one can get promotion to the spiritual kingdom and some of the Vaikuntha plants. It is so nice. Achyutananda Maharaj, November 14, 1970. Under the circumstances, the conclusion is that the whole population is now Sudra. As it is stated, Kale Sudra Sambhava. As for Sudras, there is no initiation according to the Vedic system. But according to the Pancharatrika system, initiation is offered to a person who is inclined to take Krishna consciousness. During my Guru Maharaj's time, even a person was coming from a Brahmana family, he was initiated according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi system, taking him to be a Sudra. So the birthright Brahmanism is not applicable at the present moment. The same my Guru Maharaj, according to the Pancharatrika system, and Hari Bhakti Balas, by Srila Sarasvati Goswami, must continue. It does not matter whether the priestly class accepts it or not. When my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, introduced the system, it was protested, even by his inner circle of God brothers or friends. Of course, he actually had no God brothers, but there were many disciples of Bhakti Vinod Thakur who were considered his God brothers, who protested against this action of my Guru Maharaj, but he didn't care for it. In parentheses, actually, one who takes to the chanting Hare Krishna mantra offenselessly immediately becomes situated transcendentally, and therefore he has no need of being initiated with sacred thread. But Guru Maharaj introduced this sacred thread because a Vaishnava was being mistaken as belonging to the material caste. To accept a Vaishnava in material caste system is hellish consideration. Therefore, to save the general populace from being offended to a Vaishnava, he persistently introduce his sacred thread ceremony, and we must follow his footsteps. So apparently, before that, there was just Harinam initiation for non-Brahmanas. Achyutananda Maharaj, 1970, November 14, 1970. Another one for Achyutananda Maharaj. We've got the book out now. Regarding Dr. Sen's grandson's theory of species, if they are species, the species horse is a kind of species that draws a cart. The ass is another kind of species, he carries a load. So ass is never engaged for carrying the cart. If Brahmanas are a species, why do we see sometimes a Brahmana does a suit? So why they should not worship the deity? Krishna says he accepts the service even of the Papayoni, those who have taken impious births. Actually, Krishna does not say that caste is determined according to species, but according to the quality of work. The divisions of society are made. Narada says one must be judged according to his qualification. Even if he is in a different class or species, still he should be accepted according to the qualities which he exhibits, brahmana, etc. Sridharaswami says, birth is not so much important as quality. You have very wrongly recommended something about Sridharaswami's view. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one is a Vaishnava, immediately he becomes qualified for executing Vedic rites. About this verse, Srila Deepa Goswami remarks that the Brahmana awaits a sacred bed ceremony, but a Vaishnava is qualified to execute the Vedic rites without waiting for the sacred ceremony. The real fact is that because of non-observance of the Gavadam Samsara, in this age, there is no real Brahmana by birth at all. And even they cannot be called Dvija Brahmanas properly because there has been no observance for a long time. Kale Sutra Sambhava. The claim of Brahmanism by birthright is a false display of material situation only. It is our duty, therefore, to train all kinds of men to the standard of qualified Brahmanas, initiating them as such by qualification in accordance with the above authorities, so that they may go on progressively unhindered in their march back home, back to Godhead. This system introduced by my Guru Maharaj is a chance for all members of the society, scientifically based and applied, apart from the exploitative sentiments of birthright, caste system, to become actually situated on the transcendental platform. The literal meaning of the term Brahmana is one who is Brahma-bhuta, or on the theoretical stage of Brahma-jnana. Since it is that one progresses from the stage of Brahma-jnana to the stage of knowledge of Paramatma and then to knowledge of Bhagavan, one who has come to the first stage, Brahma-jnana, is automatically a Brahmana, will be qualified as much. So for a Vaishnava, one who has come to the highest stage of knowing Bhagavan, naturally he has already established his qualification as a Brahmana. All right, we'll read one more, and then we'll be ending on the, we've got one little letter on the right side of the red. To Sudama, May 25th, 1971. You will be glad to know that Bhanu is now a complete devotee. That is to say, he has received Gayatri Mantra. So when he goes there, both you and him can convert many young Japanese people to becoming Krishna conscious devotees.
And a couple of quick things to say. One was that I was the second initiator, but probably first initiated, second initiation, I got Satsuru Mora. And actually, and I think I gave the impression that I heard the Gayatri Mantra from Prabhupada. And the second thing I wanted to say was that as far as giving the thing about giving sacred cred to the devotees so that they'd be respected in society, people would defend the Vaishnava. The Lord Chaitanya did a similar thing. He took sannyas so that people wouldn't disrespect him because he was a householder. But there was no need for him to take sannyas. He took sannyas so that they would offer him respect just because he was a sannyasi. And the third thing I wanted to say was that the first letter we read about Prabhupada talking to the householder and saying, why do you have to go out and work? If your service is needed full time on Sankirtan, why you should do that? And these days in Sarajan, almost every householder has a job, makes good money, and has a house and nice car and everything. And it's taken as like, that's the standard these days. It's not likely to change as long as there's easy money available. Like in the United States, money is still for jobs, money is still fairly easy to get. But I remember the first time I went to the temple on North Beacon Street, and one of the devotees was showing me around, took me upstairs, and he said, this is where some householders live. and there was a room about that, you know, about 10 feet by 10 feet or something like that. There was a curtain down the middle, and two householder couple in rooms. They went out on Hari Nam all day long. So anyway, it's not, we're not, it's not likely to be like that here in Pennsylvania, but we could go back to that. At least we should, it's good to be aware of what was considered normal back then.
Yeah.
It wasn't unusual, it was normal.
Well, I know that it's not a visa, he was a swami, of course. I don't know if it's something they talk about, you know, they used to go out and do, you know, stand up dancing, hanging out for 8, 10 hours a day. And right now, though, if you read that, you know, under the swami's little pamphlet, Ram Roki Bachalam, there's a woman in there talking about in somewhere in Russia, or the former Soviet Union, that there's 20 women living in a one bedroom, one apartment, only one bath. So there's still
places where money is harder to get.
That's true, too. But still.
We're pretty much.
That's true. But still, it's random. If you weren't aspiring, it would go better than that. Okay, Omar Vinatra understanding that you asked. Oh. Shatusam Kamiyata Rashidu. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and like spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Atmanam Aharyam Chakra.
Atmanam Aharyam Chakra.
Atmanam Aharyam. Chakra.
Chakra.
Did.
Did.
Dupa.
Dupa.
Incense.
Incense.
Alipay.
Alipay.
Smearing the body with sandalwood pulp.
Smearing the body with sandalwood pulp.
Shrub.
Shrub.
Gallons.
Gallons.
Adhibihi.
Adhibihi.
Beginning with.
Beginning with.
Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Saintly, beautifully.
Saintly, beautifully.
Alankrita.
Alankrita.
Being decorated.
Being decorated.
Savanga.
Savanga.
All over the body.
All over the body.
Mahisham.
Mahisham.
Unto the queen.
Unto the queen.
Adhade.
Adhade.
Ige.
Ige.
Manaha.
Manaha.
Mind.
Mind.
After this, the translation by Srila Prabhupada. After this, King Paranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. After this, he began to search out his queen. I say, you say. After this.
After this.
King Paranjana decorated his body.
King Paranjana decorated his body.
With suitable ornaments.
With suitable ornaments.
He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp.
He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp.
Over his body.
Over his body.
And put on flower gowns.
And put on flower garlands.
In this way.
In this way.
He became completely refreshed.
He became completely refreshed.
After this.
After this.
He began to search out his queen.
He began to search out his queen.
Purport. Krishnan Pandacharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When a man comes into good consciousness and accepts a saintly person as a spiritual master, he hears many Vedic instructions in the form of philosophies, stories, narrations about great devotees, and transactions between God and his devotees. In this way, a man becomes refreshed in mind, exactly like a person who smears scented sandalwood pulp all over his body and decorates himself with ornaments. These decorations may be compared to knowledge of religion and itself. Through such knowledge, one becomes detached from a materialistic way of life and engages himself always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other Vedic literatures. The word Sava Alankrita used in this verse indicates that one must be absorbed in knowledge gathered from the instructions of saintly persons. Just as King Paranjana began to search out his better half, the queen, one who is decorated with knowledge and instructions from saintly persons to try to search out his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. One cannot return to Krishna consciousness unless he is favored by the instruction of a saintly person. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, Sadhu Sastra Guru Vakya Chitete Karya Akya. If we want to become saintly persons, or if we want to return to our original Krishna consciousness, we must associate with sadhu, a saintly person, shastra, authoritative Vedic literature, and guru, a bona fide spiritual master. This is the process. I'll read the translation again. After this, Paranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. After this, he began to search out his queen. So, when one is, first of all, the person has, it says here that when one is refreshed, one who is decorative with knowledge and instruction from a safety person to try to search out his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And one cannot return to Krishna consciousness unless he is faded by the instructions of a saintly person. So, now this knowledge, this, it's an analogy, but this description of material existence heard from a pure devotee who has bhakti, that because we're associating, we're learning the truth, the ultimate truth of existence from a pure devotee, then our mind, intelligence, and senses are surrendered, are accepting that instruction. Hearing actually means submissive hearing. So we're actually acting on the level of the pure soul, because we are not engaged in hearing subject matters that are a product of the material mind, body, and senses. Now, this understanding of the material existence can be seen by people who are not absolutely pure devotees of Krishna. There are Buddhists, there are impersonalists, other people who have some concept of the soul, have some idea that if you have an idea that I'm an eternal spirit soul, you have a clue or a glimpse of that, then you can see that the material world being entangled in the bodily conception and having no way to enjoy other than through the temporary sense gratification, which in itself is a form of suffering because it's simply frustration. Because we need to enjoy, and we're frustrated because we can't get it. It's like we need an ocean, and we're trying to get a drop of water in the desert, you know. That's all we get. So, and then we have so much, you know, descriptions of the suffering. I mean, it sounds negative, but we're not negative. You have to understand the context of it. If you just only were thinking about this, it might be kind of negative, but there's just so much pain in this material world. As we started getting old, Prabhupada mentioned once, as far as these things go, everybody gets a chance to experience this and to understand the nature of material existence. And it's not even the suffering that is most enlightening. A lot of times when people are suffering, that they just try to deny it. And they become dull, and they're always thinking, wow, I can get out of this suffering, and then I can enjoy afterwards. Sometimes actually enjoyment is a more powerful thing that leads one to realize the material existence is ultimately impossible to find true satisfaction. The problem is, there's this book I talked to people about, it, and it's transcendental I'm talking about, Abadet, Yuri Abadet, and he gives this, it's written in the 1920s, and he gives this brilliant satire of the New Age, at the time the New Age movement, and this, you know, Babbitt, his wife took Raghun to this place, and there's these people there, and these cake roses on the wall, and they're coughing into their handkerchief out of refinement and all this. And, anyway, he describes it, and the person comes out and talks about the one light. He says, anyways, it's a very brilliant, I mean, and the key, what hit me was, said there were two men there, the redneck, meaty men, who were listening very attentively. And they were, you know, construction workers that had just, you know, you can't come into well, you know, so they would, then they had to start looking for fine painting and, you know, and just hire things like this. And they had to, and they were looking for some philosophy, and there was a toss-up between Episcopalianism and Christian Science and Theosophy or something. And the whole thing is that it's clear, like, that when people that are into this new ageism and stuff, it's like people that have understood that you cannot become fully satisfied in material consciousness. It's impossible. Sometimes it's from actually, you know, getting, you know, down over the mountain and all you can see was the other side of the mountain. Kind of. Anyway, and sometimes when people get all this enjoyment and they see they're still not satisfied, then they say, wait a minute, I gotta try to find some spiritual satisfaction. But if they are still too attached to false ego, they will never get beyond the idea, the last snare of Maya is the idea that I am God. And so people get hung up on that. Now, the other point is that sometimes people don't actually come. They're looking inside, but if they haven't come in contact with a pure devotee of Krishna, then they really can't, they can't really go beyond the platform of looking. At least they may come to the platform of looking for Brahman realization, realizing that I'm an eternal spirit. I am all eternal spirits, and I don't actually experience birth, death, disease, and old age. It's only due to my false desires that I am in samsara, that I am in the repeated, you know, I'm in the cycle of repeated birth and death, and I want to become free from that. And that's, you know, not, that's a pretty good thing for a materialist. That's a pretty high goal, but if that's as high as you can get if you don't come in contact with a pure devotee. Even that Brahman realization, some people can approach it. Socrates approached it on his own. You can understand this with some intelligence. But to actually develop love for Krishna, we have to hear who Krishna is, what Krishna looks like. We have to be directly connected with somebody who has the spirit, who has the loving spirit of Krishna. And then we can, if we're hearing from them, then we will start to have that same devotion. And in the pure devotee begins his instruction with reality about the material world. Even a person who is realized on the Brahman platform, that if we realize we are eternal spiritual beings and not the material body, we will see, it will be conspicuous to us how much suffering that is caused by the illusion that we are the body, and how impossible the situation is. So this is the consciousness of people who have Brahman realization, as well as people who, you know, understand Krishna. So, but when we hear about it from a pure devotee, he also adds to this. This is the first step, you know, understanding the nature of material existence. And then he explains what real existence is. That's what's missing. And if we don't come in contact with a pure devotee who is teaching the absolute truth exactly as it is taught in the scriptures, exactly as it is spoken by Krishna himself, you see, what's missing is, what is our real identity? We only get a part of our real identity, that we are sought, that we are eternal. We don't get the knowledge of what we really are, that we're infinitesimal, fragmental parts of Krishna. And we don't get the real Ananda. We don't get a spiritual body. So this is what we need to do. So again, even though this understanding in itself doesn't, this understanding in itself doesn't make a person Krishna conscious, but if we just concentrate on loving Krishna with a glimpse and a clue of the fact that we're not the spiritual body, that the spiritual activities are all on a level above material consciousness, then we can just, these things will just come to us automatically. And we can see the truth also in many other ways. But we can read this here. Our prayer to Srila Prabhupada, the standard Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane. So Vishnu Padaya, Namaste means with no ego. And so bowing down. Vishnu Padaya unto the lotus feet. Krishna Prasaya, who is very dear to Lord Krishna. Bhutale on the earth, Srimati, all beautiful, Bhati Vedanta Swami, Iti Namine, who is thus named. And then in the second part, we get this form, Namaste Saraswati Devi, servant of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, Gauravani, the message of Lord Chaitanya, Pachinarane, who are preaching now. Nearest, and what are we teaching? Delivering the Western countries, which is Pasecha Desha. Tarane means to deliver. And from voidism and impersonalism. So Prabhupada came and not only delivered us from material existence, but he delivered us from the incomplete understanding of what spirituality really is. So once one begins to search, when one comes to the understanding that we cannot find full satisfaction in material existence, and then one who is decorated with knowledge and instruction from a saintly person, that's a great fortune. And then we stretch out our original consciousness. We cannot become Krishna conscious unless we are favored by the instructions of a sadhu. We have to associate with sadhu. And with that association is also from reading children. Association is not so much seeing. I mean, of course, seeing Srila Prabhupada personally is a special mercy, and we would want to see Prabhupada. We all hope to see Srila Prabhupada personally someday. But hearing is real seeing. You know, many people saw Prabhupada and did not hear his message. They were all struck, but it was one that heard what he had to say and understood it. Then he came to always, and right now, people are hearing from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said one line, you read one line, it can change a person's whole life. So people, association is there. And that association is potent to the level that we're receptive to it. Because, you know, we may be frustrated in material existence, be searching for spiritual life, but we may also be proud. We may still be hung up on subtle ego, the we can, somehow or other, we can control. But if we come to the helpless state, which is, that's why Kali Yuga is actually, in one sense, it's stated in the 11th canto that devotees in Satya Yuga are eagerly awaiting taking birth in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, you get the greatest ecstasy. It says in the 11th canto, there's no higher possible gain or mercy for the living entities in material existence than to be engaged in the Lord's Sankirtan movement. So in Kali Yuga, everything is so bad, you know, that we just feel helpless. So if we listen, and that was even Narada Muni's special qualification. He was helpless, you know, and he was dependent upon the sages. So also Kali Yuga helps us to realize that, you know, we're helpless and we're desperate. And if we hear the knowledge with a submissive spirit, understanding that we can't figure it out on our own. Lord Brahma even said, I mean, I'm the most intelligent person in the universe. I can't understand Krishna with my own mind and intelligence, because he has this intelligence. Nobody can. So if we realize, wait a minute, I'm confused. I can't possibly figure this out. I can't possibly do it on my own. You know, I need help. And please, somebody up there, help me. You know, that's the attitude of the devotee. That's the attitude that makes one receptive to Srila Prabhupada's teaching. If we're thinking we're going to do it on our own, we're really not quite is ready to hear from the pure devotee. So this association is not that we get closer to the guru, just we are more closely associating with Srila Prabhupada, the more we're eager to actually understand, the more that we're actually do understand actually that we need help. No, we can't do it on our own. We just, please, you know, let me hear something. And in that way, we're giving Prabhupada, we're not giving it, but we're assisting, we're acting as an instrument. We're being used by Krishna. Krishna is giving out his knowledge. Srila Prabhupada is transferring it. And we're being used. If we allow ourselves, we can be used by Krishna to also transmit this knowledge. And one of the best way is to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. That's the process. So then we can feel refreshed. You know, and we can help other people feel refreshment. Here's some refreshment. You know, you're out there, material existence, you're suffering, you know you can't be happy, you're so frustrated, you know. And it's going to get worse. It's never going to get better. Because even if it gets better, it's going to be worse when it stops being better. So here's something. You know, take this. This is nectar. You know, this is something refreshing. And be refreshed. So, the Bible, sometimes called good news, we call this the refreshing news. Any questions, comments, other philosophies?
Okay. And a couple of quick comments. One was, no matter what you have in the material world, you can't really enjoy it. There's that old saying that you can't have your cake and eat it too. And when I was growing up, I thought, well, that's a funny saying. You can't have your cake and eat it, right? But now that I'm older and struggling more physically and everything, now I sort of know what it George Harrison related about his life. He said, but by the time he was 19 years old, he was one of the four most famous people in the world. And they were the most famous people in the world. And he had everything. He had the world at his feet. He said, I had everything by the time I was 19 years old. Young, but I could see that wasn't what was going to make me happy. So even if that, you know, he was obviously taking up from a previous life in devotional service, but he had the understanding at a very young age that no matter what I get materially, it's not going to make me happy. The statement in there about ornaments in the material world, people like ornaments. Like if you have a Rolex watch, or you have a woman has some nice diamonds or pearl jewelry or some fancy stuff. A little poodle, they use it like a dog for their ornament or their accessory, and. That's what we call ornamentation in the material world, if you have some jewels and stuff. But ornaments in Krishna consciousness is the person humble. Doesn't matter what he looks like or what she looks like or what they have. Are they humble? Are they knowledgeable in the shastras? Are they merciful? Are they clean? Do they worship the deity? Those are ornaments from our point of view.
Sarubhushana. The other thing, just one quick add if I can, please. The reason we can't enjoy in material consciousness is we can't enjoy a moment because a moment doesn't really exist. Time is continually passing. We can never be here now.
Now is always changing.
It's always changing. We can't be here now, and that's, you know, we're trying to get, it's like a river that's flowing. If you took a picture of it, it looked like you had it trapped for a second. But if that's only, you can't see how much it flows during that multi-second. If something's going, it's going continuously. Time is continuous. And we're trying to enjoy it. It's always, there is no moment. There is no here now. It's only here now on the stage of consciousness, on the stage of the soul, chanting Hare Krishna. So that we can immediately perceive that, the distinction, that when we start chanting Hare Krishna, this is a deeper satisfaction than we get from sense gratification. Immediately, even though I'm speaking obviously theoretical philosophy, there's some clue, some glimpse to this fact that, you know, because chanting Hare Krishna actually gives something, I experience it gives something that in material gratification just gives nothing, less than nothing. Suffering. Then there's death when you die. Life's a drag when you die. And it's a drag getting old.
The same like ladies, they use decorations, maybe very nice decorations, like polished tulip in
women are, there's a special beauty when women, anybody, there's the attractiveness of the beauty, and then, but there's a, once you get into that, but once there's a special beauty of somebody whose face, the smile on a person's face is not a smile from sense gratification. It has special beauty, and the eyes have special beauty, and people can perceive that, actually. They're really seeing that. So it's really not the same as material beauty. A woman dancer cannot smile and exhibit the same type of beauty that a person can when they're experiencing Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So it really is.